Okay, we're continuing in Sefer Yeshua. We're in Perek Ches, and now we're on Pasuk Gimel. Hashem has told Yeshua to regroup and battle against Ai. There are two differences in this battle than other battles. This one, they'll be able to take the loot. And number two, Hashem tells him to make an ambush. So let's see exactly how Yeshua implements the plans, and let's see how the battle proceeds. Pasuk Gimel. Vayakom Yeshua v'chol am ha-milchama la'alos ha'oi. Yeshua gets up, and all of the am ha-milchama, the entire army of war, the nation of warriors, la'alos ha'oi, to get up to go against Ai. So, and that's what Hashem told him to do. As he told him, that number one, he got up, that he should be at the lead, and he should lead the troops into battle and not sit back like the last time. And all the warriors, okay, that's what Hashem also told him to do. And as we'll see in the next part, he says, Vayivchar Yehoshua Shloshim Elef Ish, and Yeshua selects 30,000 soldiers, Giborei HaChayil, big warriors, Vayishlochem Loyla, and he sends them out in the night. Now who is he choosing? Who's this select group? This is the ambush that he is selecting. And he sends them at the night, and the Malbim learns that he sends them out 2 days before the war. As we will see why he has to do this so much earlier than the battle itself. And now he speaks to them, this group, in Pasuk Dalet. Vayitzavo somle more, he commands them, saying, Ru'u atem orvim lo'ir me'acharei ha'ir. You should see that you are going to the ambush of the city behind the city. Okay. There's many types of ambushes. In the Navi goes through, there's three other examples of ambushes in the Torah where you're ambushing an enemy. But if you look carefully, he's not saying you're ambushing the people. The pasuk says orvim ha'ir. You're ambushing the city, as we will see as this plays out, where the differences lie in ambushing a city as opposed to the people. And you will be macharei ha'ir. You're behind the city. Al tarchiku min ha'ir ma'o. Don't go too far away from the city. Okay. 30,000. No, no, it's the ambush. The ambush. He's got 600,000 soldiers. From those 600,000, he takes out 30,000, and that's the ambush. Okay, and don't be too far away with them. V'yisem kulchem nechonim, and be ready at a moment's notice to do what has to happen. Okay, so and we'll see why he has to position them the way he does. Pasuk Hey. Va'ani v'chol ha'am asher ito, and me asher iti, and me and the entire nation, the rest of the soldiers that will be going out to battle, asher iti, these people that are with me, nikra v'la'ir, we will approach the city. We will be in battle formation to approach the city. V'hoya ki yetzu likraseinu kasher barishana. It'll be when we go out, when they go out towards us. Kasher barishona, just like the first time, right? In other words, just like the first time when we went out to battle, they went out towards us to fight us. So we'll assume the same thing's going to happen again. And we're going to do the same thing as well. V'nasnu lifneim, and we will run away before them. In other words, we will do the same thing as last time. But last time, it wasn't part of the plan. Last time we were just shocked and afraid that they went out to attack us. Here we will feign that we are losing heart, and they will therefore think that we're two-time losers. But that's the plan. Pasuk Vav, v'yotzu acharenu, and they will go out after us, anhatikenu osam min ha'ir, till we draw them out from the city. We will draw them out, fool them to come out. Ki omru, because they're going to say to themselves, Nosim lifanenu. Ah, They're running away from us. Kasher Barishana, just like the first time, still losers. Vinasnu lifneim, and we will run away from before them. Right? So, he's figuring, as the Malbim explains, I'm using basically the Malbim commentary over here. So, certainly they're not going to think that we're doing this out of trickery. In other words, they're not going to think that this is our plan, and we're planning this whole thing, because they saw us the first time run away, and we were afraid of them. So they're going to think it's a repeat performance, and now we're running away a second time. Right? And therefore, what he's hoping to accomplish is, as he says, until we draw them out of the city, right? That's why we're running away from them. And as they're going to see that we're running away from him, then they're going to, you know, completely follow us, and we'll run away until they're totally out of the city, until, as they say, oh, you know, that's why they're using the words v'nasnu lifneim two times, the end of pasuk hey, the end of pasuk vav. In other words, we're going to run away from them. The first running away will get them to start to get out of the city. And then when we continue, as they keep running after us, we keep running away. And then we totally get them out of the city completely. And we get them to go out into the battlefield area. And at that point, when they're out of the city totally, now the ambush will be able to move into place. Now, continues, Pasuk Zayin. Now, he's still talking to the ambush group. Pasuk Zayin. Vatem, now you guys, takumu meharev, you'll get up from your ambush position as we are running away, and you'll know when. I'll tell you when shortly. Varashtem esair, and you'll drive people out of the city, whoever is left in the city. Now, there's going to be a lot of different interpretations over here as to what that means. It's a lot of meforshim over here. Unesana Hashem Elokeichem b'yedchem, and Hashem, your God, will give them in your hands. In other words, whoever is remaining in the city, Hashem will give them in your hands. Okay, now, one second. Now there'll be a sign, and he's also get up meha orev, get up from your position of ambush. That has to mean from your position of ambush. Okay, now ches v'hoya kisaf sechem esair. It will be when you grab hold of the city, meaning to say you've controlled the city. What do you do then? Tatzitzu esair be'esh, kindle the city on fire. Tatitsu, bring a fire to the city. All right. Kidvar Hashem Tasu. As the words of Hashem, that's what you should do. Ru'u tzivisi Hashem, see, you should see, as I have commanded you. In other words, what's the Dvar Hashem over here? The Dvar Hashem is to burn the city. Okay. And be careful. And the simple meaning is, you know, you see what you've been commanded, and don't go against what we've said. The Malbim adds, you should say like this: oh, well, since we're already able to plunder the city, because that's what you're going to see. So, and therefore, he says, so what he's afraid is, you know, you guys might take more than your share, right? So he, or better yet, he's saying, since we're going to burn the city, what are you going to bother with? So the real intention of Hashem is that you should be able to take loot and don't burn everything, but you've got to save the loot before you burn up the city. So, because we do want people to get the benefits of the city. Okay, so that was the plan. That was the plan. Until Pasuk Ches, that's the plan. So let's take a little bit of a look in the Sefer Parshas B'Sifrei Nevi'im, and see a little bit what's the point of this plan over here. Okay, so it's on page Ayin Dalet. Ayin Dalet. We're on the second paragraph of page Ayin Dalet. You should have the booklets, correct? I gave out the booklets.
No, you were him and I gave them out.
away. Okay, we're in Ayin Dalet. That second paragraph, the Ha'orev Harishon Va'orev Hasheni, the first and the second ambush. We'll see. There's more ambushes coming up. Let's look at the simple thing. Yeshua Eina Mishta'ot. Yeshua is not delaying at all. Once Hashem speaks to him, he gets right to work. Milchamesh Shal Ai V'Shal Givon Ha'yubasoch Shlosha Chadashim. He's going to give you a time frame over here. The war with Ai and the subsequent issue with Givon, the Givonim, that's a group we'll deal with in another chapter, was during the first 3 months, meaning to say from Nisan. They crossed in Nisan, as you'll see. Bishlosha Betamuz, on the third day of Tammuz, Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz. Okay? So from the 15th of Nisan, when they crossed, you have Iyar Sivan Tammuz. So less than 3 months, we know, it says Vayom, so on the third day of Tammuz, it says Vayom Elene Kol Yisrael Shemesh Begivon Dom. We know the famous story where Yeshua commands the sun to stand still during the battle at Givon, where that's on the third day of Tammuz. So just to get a time frame, if they cross the Jordan on the 15th of Nisan, okay, it's Pesach time. Okay, the third of Tammuz is about 3 weeks after Shavuos. Okay, so we know that the battle in Givon was the third of Tammuz. So whatever happened, you know, Yericho was approximately, well, we know Yericho. Yericho was after Pesach, ended the 22nd. Then they went around 7 days. So it was right around Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So then they moved on to Ai. So everything happened in Ai was sometime between in the month of Iyar Sivan, basically. That's what's going on. So he's saying, Lo nim salon tarach meduyak l'melchamas Ai v'kibusha. We don't have specific dates for the conquest of Ai, the war and the conquest. We know from our rabbis, Shoyse b'chadoshim Iyar Sivan b'shan rishon l'knis Yisrael aretzo. It had to be in the month of Iyar and Nisan of that first year we entered the land. That's a time frame over here. So Yeshua lokach is called Amma Muhammad. Yeshua takes the entire nation. So now he quotes Shir Hashirim. Amma Rabbi Lazar, as we say, B'shishim elech v'nech b'shir Eretz Kanan. It must be 60,000. 600,000, the land was conquered. Lalo sala Ai, to go up to Ai, k'mitzvus k'mitzum v'yagvur, as Hashem commanded. V'bocher shloshim elef gibor echai lios orif le'ir, machare ya'ir, v'shalech hasam l'kom ha'rov v'alayla. He selects 30,000 soldiers to be the ambush around the city, and he sends them on their ambush at night. So the footnote at the bottom says, perhaps this is the tribes of Gad and Reuven, because the Torah already called them earlier Giborei HaChayil, and he is referring them over here as well, Giborei HaChayil. So it's likely that these are and this is a much more dangerous mission that they have to take than their others. And the instructions, he says, are very clear. The commands he gives them are clear, and now the bolds just give you the psukim that we just read, and the lighter print is just explaining what's the point over here, but that's already been kind of explained. So look at the bottom of the page. Now the question is exactly how much did Hashem tell Yeshua, and how much did Yeshua come up on his own? You know, that's already a bit of debate. In other words, all Hashem said to him was, make for yourself an ambush to the city from behind it. All right. How much more details? We're not sure. It's possible that Hashem only commanded Yeshua to put an ambush behind the city. And Yeshua, with his wisdom, in terms of military strategies, he understood what Hashem meant to do with that ambush, and he understood the proper activities. You'll see it's not such a simple ambush as we get into further psukim. So we could say that Hashem didn't give him all the details. He just said, you know, this is going to be a regular military thing, and I suggest you use the ambush strategy. But again, there's all kinds of ambushes that can be used, and this is not a common ambush, as you'll see. And the commandment on its own could possibly be understood in another way. In other words, normal ambushes, you get the guys in the middle and you attack them from both ends, which is a simple ambush. But it could be there's other points to this ambush, which is that perhaps the point of this ambush, who lachsem is derech brichas yoshua eilat sad marav, to seal off any escape routes from those inhabiting Ai to run to the marav, to run to the west. When they get hit by the main camp. In other words, it could be just to seal off an escape route. Or it's possible that their role is to prevent any reinforcement troops to come in. Which could come from the neighboring city, Beis Kel, which was not far from Ai. You gotta remember, if the Jews are battling Ai, if the people from Beis Kel, I'm sure they have scouts looking, if they see that Ai is losing, that's not in the best interest of the people of Beis Kel. And then they can start sending out troops to help. So it could be that this ambush is really preventing reinforcements from neighboring cities to come. Hashochenes Lamar of Ai, which are, these people live to the west of Ai. Aval Yeshua Haven Shatsivu Zebali Nuts, but Yeshua understood something much more. It could be part of that, but he understood much more. But really the main purpose could be that it's trying to remove the psychological damage that happened from the first campaign against Ai. In other words, the Jews still are suffering great humiliation and lack of confidence in their ability, and he's trying to work on undoing, let's say, the harm that came from that first battle. Pamayim, two times, Madgish Yeshua Bidvarav Lo'orev Kasher Barishona. When he speaks to this Orev, when he speaks to this ambush party, he says twice the words Kasher Barishona as it was the first time. He says, me and the people will come to the city, and we, when they come out towards us, just like the first time. And then he says again, and we'll run away from them, just like the first time. Why do you keep mentioning just like the first time? I mean, of course, it's just like the first time. So and that's what he's saying. They're going to come out towards us like it was in the first time, and we'll run away from them. Don't understand. We're running away from them like the first time. When it says run away, it says the second time. It's to reinforce their thoughts that we're taka afraid. So and that will enable the ambush to grab hold of the city. Because we will draw out all the warriors of the city as they see us running away. And when the ambush will light the city on fire, that's our sign. It's our sign to stop running away. And now we're supposed to turn our faces to the enemies and turn back and fight. And also, people of Ai, it'll be a sign that their city has been captured, so to speak. So there's obviously a lot of psychological warfare going on over here. It's going to be quite a psychological reversal when you beat someone the first time and you think, all right, we're going to do it the second time. And all of a sudden, in the middle, they turn around, and at the same time that the people who aren't running away from you are turning around to fight you, you look back and you see your city's on fire. Whoa, now you've really got them in a bad position. And for this plan of action, Yeshua says, Kidvar Hashem Tasu, like the word of Hashem you should do. Zuhi said, Kavenes Hashem Betziva. This was the main intention of the command. Simlucha Arev Lirachareha. Make for yourself an ambush behind the city. So it's not exactly clear how much Hashem told him, how much Hashem didn't tell him, and how much is what Yeshua's ideas that came out of here. Be that as it may, that's what he does. So, Ba'osa Laila, okay. So at that point, now we're ready to continue back into the text. Let's go back to Pasuk Tes, inside the text now. Vayishlachem Yeshua. Yeshua now sends out this party, this ambush party. Vayelchu el hamarav. They go to the ambush position. Vayeshvu, and they are sitting, Bein Beis Kel Ubein Ha'ai Miyom Lo'oi. They are sitting between the cities of Beis Kel and the cities of Ai, and they are to the west of Ai. Okay, Ubein Ha'ai Miyom Lo'oi, which they are to the west of Ai. Vayel and Yeshua B'layla Hu B'toch Am, and Yeshua went to sleep that night amongst the people. Okay, so the Malbim in Pasuk Tes, he explains a little bit more about what's the purpose of sending them. So, but the main reason is, why is he sending them 2 days before the war? So he's saying because, and now you should take a look at this chart. There's two charts. One is a simple rendering of the story. Now, we should have some, it's at the end of the booklet. And it's a second, much more sophisticated one, which I'm still debating if I want to do it, because it's, remember years ago I went through this. The second one is really complicated. The first one makes it easy. It says the Battle of Ai according to Malbim. Okay, according to Malbim. So just to get your bearings over here. Okay, to the far right you see Yericho. That's where the Jews were. Okay? The Jews now, and there are still many Jews, you know, the Jewish population is still there at Yericho, so to speak, because they've moved on, right? You've got, let's see now. You've got Ai, you see where Ai is? Right? And you see Beis Kel. You see those 3 points? Yericho, those are the dots. Yericho, Ai, and Beis Kel. So, the first point is, number one, Yeshua dispatches ambush party 2 days before the battle. So look where, according to the Malbim, you know the text says between Ai and Beis Kel? So he feels they're not exactly between Ai and Beis Kel, because if they were mamish between Ai and Beis Kel, they probably would have been spotted. When you're in between two cities, it's pretty hard not to be spotted. So therefore, he learns between, so to speak, in other words, In a west-east direction, it's between, but decidedly south of both of those positions. Now, why he has to send them 2 days earlier, says the Malbim, because, as we'll see, the group, Yeshua's group, let's look at point number two, the Israelites' main army positions itself at point B. Point B is north of Ai. Alright? So obviously the attention of the city of Ai is to the great force that's there in point B. Now, it's interesting exactly how, from the Malbim, it seems that he's sending them, from this picture, it seems he's sending the ambush directly from Yericho. Okay, I'm not 100% sure if that's exactly from where he sent them. But the point why he needs a 2 days in advance, because, since he's got the ambush party to the southwest of the city of Ai, now how are they going to get there without people detecting them? So therefore, they've got to go through a very circuitous route, very, very far through all kinds of not easy to travel parts of land. And therefore, he puts them, in other words, I would suggest the picture might look a little different. They would probably had the Jews were closer to Ai. Be that as it may, how, you know, the arrow for number one may not be exactly the way the picture has it. But the point being, how is he going to get the ambush to be near Ai without the people of Ai detecting them? He can't send them straight away from where the regular camp is. Where the regular camp is, I mean, they're keeping an eye on the regular camp. And they, you know, they're not stupid. They got scouts looking around. And they'd probably take a certain radius of how far you look. So he had to send this ambush party to be a real surprise. So he probably sends them miles and miles north or east, very far away, right? And then they do a long circuitous route to position themselves at point A so that they're not detected. And that takes a couple days. You can't do that. So at night, he sends them at night. So at night, nobody knows what's going on. So at night, he sends them. And by the time sun rises, there's 30,000 troops that are very far away from the Jews that can't be detected that they're leaving at that point. You know, you can't tell that 30,000 troops are gone from 600,000. That's only 5% of the troops. So he's got them now positioned in a way that they totally will not be recognized at all. They won't be known that they're there. And that's a critical element in his strategy over here. Okay? So that's point number two. Now, he comments on the words between Beis Kalem, between Ai. So he says the Malm, it's impossible to say that they were directly west of the city in the area between Beis Kalem and Ai. As you see in the picture between point, the dot of Ai and the dot of Beis Kalem, because the people of Beis Kalem who would come to their assistance would certainly see them, right? And also, he told them that they should be behind the city. No, no, they join in the pursuit, but not that they know about the Orev, not that they know about the ambush party. We will see. Well, there's different opinions exactly. Yeshua was with the main army. And he said, but the main thing is he wants this ambush party to be totally not seen. Okay, to be totally not seen, because he wants a total element of a surprise. Right? So therefore, and since he says that they have to be behind the city would be to the south of the city. Because we'll see, the gates of the city face north. The gates of the city face north, and that's where the soldiers of Ai would come out. They'd be coming out from the northern gate, facing north. And that's where the Jewish army is. They are to the north over there. So behind would have to really be to the south. Right? So therefore he says, and you'll see why, that the ambush party sat at the southwest corner. As we'll see, so the south is totally behind the city, and a little bit to the west was important, as you'll see. And therefore, when the people of Beis Kalem go out to do what they have to do, if they join them, they will not detect this Orev. All right? They will not detect them. And you'll see why he needs them to the south very shortly. Okay? So we're okay up to this point. So now let's go back into the text. All right, we're on Pasuk Yud. Vayashkem Yeshua b'boker. Yeshua gets up early the next morning. Vayivkod esa'am. And Vayivkod can have different meanings over here. The Targum renders it, he counts the troops. He counts the troops. And that's normally, you know, the sibling of Vayivkod. Although other Mephorshim say he supervises the troops. Get them ready for battle. He is the leader. And to get them all ready to go for battle. And remember, I was on a mountain. Okay? It was a strategically important spot. That's why they didn't have to have so many soldiers. Remember, if you're on a mountain, you don't need so many soldiers. Normally you don't need. So therefore, he prepares the people. Vayalhu, he goes up. Vizikni Yisrael, and the elders of the Jewish people. Lifnei ha'am, before the rest of the people of the nation, ha'ai, going out towards Ai. Okay? So, and now, Yud Aleph. V'chol ha'am ha'melcham asher ito, and all the nation of war that is with him, all they also went up. V'yikshu, came closer. V'yavo negadir, and they come opposite the city. They're right opposite the city. Vayachanu mitzvon la'ai, and they camped from the north of Ai. They're at the north. Vahagai beinav ubeinai, there is a valley between them and between the city of Ai. Okay? So again, the gate of the city is in a northern direction, so therefore they're camped to the north of them, and there is this valley that would separate between the two of them. And that was the very same one, as you remember, in the last battle. When the Jews went down, they chased them down the valley. In the first battle, the Jews approached up the valley to attack, to go into the city. But then they opened up the gates and they ran after the Jews. And that shocked the Jews. And they chased them down the valley. Here the Jews are on the other side of the valley. They have not yet gone down. Okay? Now, Yud Beis. Now here comes the interesting part here. Vayikach kachameshes alofim ish. He takes about 5,000 people. Vayosem osam orev bein Beis Kalem ubein ha'ai miyom lo'oi. Okay. So now it says what? He takes about 5,000 troops and he places them as an ambush between Beis Kalem ubein ai miyom la'ir. to the west of the city, or La'ai, depending how you're going to read the text over there. So now that's a question, and that's point three on the picture chart. Yeshua dispatches 5,000 troops to create a second flank. So it's interesting why we're using the word Orev another time. Again, this is where the commentaries are beginning to have some difficulties in trying to understand what's going on. You already told me about an Orev of 30,000 troops. How many ambushes does one make? Right? An ambush should be an ambush. So, but he's saying he takes about 5,000, this is of the 600,000 troops, and he places them. To look at all the languages here are very different languages over here. The first time it says he got up and he chose 30,000 soldiers and he sent them at night. And he told them, you are going to be an orev for the city. An orev for the city, he told the first group. This group just says he, by Yosimu, he placed or prepared them. Right, he takes them as an ambush group between Beis Kael and Ai. So again, if you look in your picture number three, right, Yeshua dispatches 5,000 troops to create a second flank, and that's point C. Okay, so you have a little picture of what's going on over here. You've got the main force that's due north of Ai, and the second flank which is west of Ai. All right. So now the question then becomes, what's the purpose over here? So the Malbim says, he sends them in the morning, it's in broad daylight and everybody could see it. Okay. So the Malbim says, there's a big difference between this ambush and the other ambush, because the other ambush, remember, was southwest and a distance from the city, although not too far, but a distance from the city. And they were hiding and they didn't want anybody to see them. But this ambush, right, was next to the camp, which was to the north of the city, but it was flanked to the west, right? So it comes out like this, that the camp, the Jewish camp is to the north, and with this Orev, which is to the flank, on the western flank, so he calls it, it's like an upside down Dalet. In other words, from the direction of Ai, pretending you're looking from Ai, you're looking straight ahead. So a dalet, what's a dalet? It's long, and then it's got a connector on the left side. A normal dalet looks like this, right? So when you're coming from Ai, from Ai's point, they're looking at like this. You got the Jewish people, and then the flank coming off of that. So in other words, you've got two directions. Okay, you follow? You got, let's say you're looking at Ai, right? You're looking from Ai. Even in this picture, you can see the flank a little better. If you're looking, if you look at the second picture, it describes, I use the second picture, you can see the flank better. You have to hold it this way, although to appreciate the directions. You have to have, right? So you see the Dalet? You see that? Where you've got the little box as the guy, the valley. And that's, if you hold like this, it's north is on top. That's why, listen, that's the safer I got it from. What can you do? Right? So if you've got it sideways, the picture reads better because you can already see north. So north is on the top. There you got the Jewish camp, is Azoi, right? You see the, you fold like this. You see the Jewish camp is like this. That's directly north of the city. And I got the flank, which is to the west, and that closes off, Derech HaMidbar, according to this opinion, it closes off an escape route as well. All right? And here you've got the valley in between. Okay. And according to this, you've got a Meshur of plains over here, etc. So anyway, so you've got a flank over there. Now, where's the ambush? According to this picture, the ambush is over here. Okay? That's not the way the Malbim learns it. The Malbim learns the ambush is what? Off the page. Below the page. That's what, so there's different ways of looking at it, but I just want you to get an idea of the sense of how it looks. Okay? This would be good if I had a little bunch of soldiers and I could put it on a table and show it to you.
This diagram looks like the 5,000.
I know. I don't want to. He learns things like really totally.
No, but I'm saying.
I understand. He has a whole different. He says there's a fourth. There's a third ambush group. So I don't want to get into it. But I want to use the picture just to show you the flank. Okay. It can get really complicated. I don't want it to get really complicated. But I only used this picture to show you the idea of the flank. So you can see there's a concept of a flank. So, now where am I up to in the Malm over here? So it flanked off to the west. Okay. And therefore, he calls, you'll see the next pasuk, this Orev is called another name of the next pasuk, even called Akevo, the heel. He calls this group the heel group. Just like if you have a foot, so the heel's at the bottom, to the side. So this is like a side flank. This way, you've got eyes surrounded from two sides. And this was not hidden at all. And the people of Ai saw it completely. There was no question about it. And they see they're being attacked from two ends. And that's fine. And Yeshua wanted them to see that. Okay, he wanted them to see that. There was no hiding over there. And that's not unusual in war, to have one main group and they have a flank that is coming from the other side as well. All right, now let's go back inside the Pasuk. Yod Gimel. So Taka, that's what he does. Vayesimu ames kol ha-machane asher mitzvon la'ir, v'sakeva miyam la'ir. And he places and readies the whole camp, the majority of the camp, which is to the north of the city. And now you see he calls them the Akevo, and its heel, right? From the same expression of Vayakveni. You have different expressions. You have Akev, which is a heel literally, and Akevo can also mean an ambush group, because you had by Esav said about Yaakov, Vayakveni zeh pa'amoyim, he tricked me two times. So it's like a tricky group. And that word, Akeva, lends itself to many different interpretations. Is it a heel that is well seen? Or we'll see, there's another commentary I haven't yet brought into play yet. Or is this going to be a second type of an ambush, but not exactly the same as the first ambush, as we will see. Vayelech Yeshua b'layla ha'hu b'soch ha'emek. And Yeshua now went on that night b'soch ha'emek down to the bottom of the valley. Goes to the bottom of the valley on that night. So he's preparing this group now. He's preparing to take the city. He has the camp on the north side and the Akevo, which are the 5,000 troops, which are on the other side to the west of them. Right, he's got that all in that direction with this upside down Dalid. Right, we don't know yet the surprise that's coming up over here, and Yoshua. That even on this day, that they camped before the valley, but at night they began to go down to the valley, which is in between them and the city of Ai, so that the people of Ai should see that they are getting closer. He wants them to see that the Jews are beginning to penetrate in and are ready to make their action. So this was a whole day. So whatever this was, the night before he sends out the 30,000 troops. Then the next morning he gets all the troops ready and positioned north of Ai. And that takes some time. And he makes the flank on the west flank. And then as it's coming tonight, he starts going down the valley, all trying to draw out the king of Ai towards them. It's interesting, the Mephorshim tell us on this idea of Vayolen Balayla, that he camped at night. So Chazal bring us, quoted from over here, it'll be clearer, that here you see he's done a little bit of tshuva for a past mistake. So Yeshua learns from his mistakes. And from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan learns that it's a very interesting expression, Vayolen, he lied down, he says, and he says he lied, Balila, in the Amek. So they play on the words, in the Amek, that he lied overnight, Be'omko shel halacha, into the depths of halacha. In other words, there's a depths over here. And, what gives them the right to say such an interpretation? The answer is very simple. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, they call this valley Hagai. Hagai. You look in Pasuk Yud Aleph, they call it Hagai Beno. And there's a valley between them. And now it's called the Amek. Okay, it's two different words. So why describe it differently the second time? Amek means deep. So a valley goes down. A valley goes deep. But also could be understand when you're learning Torah, you go deep. When you're trying to really understand Torah, you go to the depths of learning. And we'll see often in Navi when this expression is used, he slept overnight in the depths, means that they were thinking deeply about certain things. So here is Pasha, they're learning Torah. So why is he doing that? Because you remember the angel came to him before and said, just because it's nighttime and you, and you're in the midst of thinking of a battle, doesn't mean you have to stop learning Torah. The whole day long, when it's daytime, they were doing the battle formations and getting things ready. Okay, that's very good. But now it's night, there's nothing much to do. So therefore, even though the simple meaning is he went down the valley, and that could certainly be true as well, but what's the deeper understanding is now he's learning Torah. And he has done tshuva on the fact of that mistake that he did before. So now we go on to Pasuk Yud Dalet. We still don't know what the sign that Yeshua made. We still don't know when the ambush group is going to know when to go. So let's go on to Yud Dalet. Again, another problematic Pasuk. Vayihi keros melech ha'ai. It was when the king of Ai saw what was going on. So what happened? Vayimaharu. They hurried up, vayashkimu, and they got up early, vayetsu anshe ha'ir likras Yisrael l'melchama. Him and the people of the city, we're talking about the people of Ai, they went out, likras Yisrael, towards the Jewish people, who heeded v'chol amo and all his people, la mo'ed. What's a mo'ed? A mo'ed means at a designated time, lifnei harava, before the plains. Okay, there were various plains in that area over there. So now what is this designated time? So Mephorshim indicate that quite often in battles, they would send scouts out and say, okay, we're going to start the battle tomorrow at this time. In other words, you never know who should start first. So sometimes they say, okay, we're going to start the battle at the crack of dawn. Get ready. That's when the battle's going to happen. So you could say La Moed, that was the designated time. But here's the critical point. V'hulo yada, he did not know, ki orev lo me'acharei ha'ir, that there was an ambush party behind him at the other end of the city, behind the city, that he had no idea of what was going on over there. Okay? So, the Malbim explains that when he saw, it says when he saw, when the king saw what was going on, what did he see? He saw that the Jews were going down the valley. So he figures he's going to be smart. Why wait till the Jews come up? He's going to come out even sooner. That's why Yamaru, he hastens. He gets up early and he goes out toward the Jewish people, and he didn't wait until they came up from the valley and got close to the gates of the city, which was the first time. First time the Jews went down the valley, went up the valley, came up to the city of Ai, and then the people of Ai then went out of the gates and chased them down. But they were so encouraged from their first victory, they figure, why should we wait? Now you'll see in a minute what his strategy is, Yeshua. He's trying to seduce them to get out of that city. Now if they're going to come all the way up to the gates of the city, where's the battle going to take place? It's going to take place in front of the city right? So the idea is he's going to want the ambush to take the city when the city's empty. So how's he going to get the city empty? He has to draw them out as much as possible. So the sooner the better, as it were. So the first time the king of Ai hit them right from the gates and took them down to the bottom. This time he's at the bottom already, and he's hoping that the king of Ai is going to figure out, I'm going to surprise them even better. I'm going to start running out after them at this point, at this designated time. All right. Now what's this Lifnei Arava before the plains? He says these are the plains of Jericho, which were to the east. So I guess in a direction towards, the plains, he came out. It's a little bit hard to exactly figure out exactly his. Yeah, so that's a little bit. So it could be he's coming out a little bit to the other direction to stay away from the flank. Remember, there's a flank on the west side, so perhaps to get away from the flank, he might be going to the plains. As the picture shows you, the Mayshore is here, got the valley and a plain, so a little bit towards the side. Before the plains, not in the plains. In other words, he's indicating there's a flank over there. You probably want to stay a little bit away from the flank. So he goes a little bit to the east, down that valley, but to the east of that. But he does not know that the ambush is there. Now, in other words, he does see one orev. He sees one flank, and that's why he's not going to the west. You know, when you're going down a valley, you can go a little bit to the west, a little bit to the east. So he's going to the east to stay away from that flank. He's going to go to the west. Then you're boxed in from two ends. And that's Yeshua doesn't want him. He wants him to go the other way, you see, because that's going to be further away from where the ambush is. The ambush is southwest. He wants them to go northeast. By going northeast, they're as far away from the city as possible. That's why he flanks it in a way that forces them to go northeast. And because he doesn't know, that's what he's saying. He doesn't know about the 30,000 people. And that's why he's heading a little bit towards the east. So tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we will get into the actual battle and see some other interpretations over here.